Back in on Canuck Central, this hour is brought to you by Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. Fast lunch doesn't have to mean fast food. Satisfy your midday cravings by choosing a main, side, and drink for only $15 served in 20 minutes or less. Again, I'm at $15. Man, that's a... Where are you getting lunch for $15 these days? I don't know.
Boston Pizza.
That's it.
That's the place.
That's the only place I know.
That's not a bad spot at all, either. We've really enjoyed our times at Boston Pizza recently.
It's a great place to watch watch hockey. Mm. Spill water.
Yeah.
Which I did during the Canada
Dan
celebration.
Spilio.
It's too many Dan names. Let's bring in our next guest. It's Don Taylor. He joins us every single Monday here on Canuck Central. Donnie and Dolly, 10 to noon on Czech TV. Thanks for this, Donnie. How are you?
Very good, guys. Very good. Very good. Just loving watching the Stanley Cup playoffs. One team's missing that I'm sure a lot of people would like to see in it, but yeah. Man, is it good.
You know, maybe they'd be in the playoffs, Donnie, if they had a practice facility. You think so?
Well, hey, listen, they used to.
That's right. Yes. Yeah.
At eight rings, it was so short-lived, a lot of people forget about it, but... It was who knows, but at the very least, maybe they'd be able to keep a head coach if they had one, or attract a few players. That practice facility, Eight Rinks, was awesome. I don't know if I've talked about this before. It wasn't the prettiest practice facility going. I go way back with Eight Rinks. I played a lot of beer league there. I actually went to a hockey school there when I was a kid. It was called Four Rinks. But that aside, you would have certain days. When the Canucks were at Eight Rinks, and this was when the Grizzlies were in Vancouver in the 90s. I'm going on a tangent here, and I apologize for that. The Grizzlies were here in the 90s, so the Canucks, when the Grizzlies, when the basketball court was laid down at what was then GM Place, they had to have a place to practice all the time. So it was Eight Rinks, and they made the dressing room was a replica of the one at GM Place. They had a gym there, hot, you name it. They had everything. It was good. It was really good. But you would have certain days there when you'd have three teams practicing there once. I remember one day being there, the Penguins, Habs, and Canucks were all practicing within minutes of each other, or at least hours of each other. It was just, I was reporting at the time, it was a reporter's dream. And, look, for anybody who was there just maybe playing casual ice, you saw all these great players practicing pretty much at the same time because there were at the time eight sheets. It's changed now. They have a soccer arena in one of them, but it was really, really special.
Yeah, and it's one of those things. It's frustrating that they can't figure it out for whatever reason, and it doesn't look like it's happening soon. So for Rick Tocchet, and I think how this applies to Talk, to me, the way I read the situation is he doesn't know if Quinn is going to be here long-term, doesn't know if he's getting a facility. So if he's not getting the money he wants, at least the money has to be right.
Yeah. And, it's been rumored and reported that he wants Berube money, which is between $4 and $5, his buddy, right? And then you look at some of the other higher paid coaches. The only one that, the guys who are making $4+ have all got Stanley Cups. And you can say what you want about the Adams Award. You can say what you want about this accolade and that accolade. The cup is the big thing. Multiple cups, obviously, even bigger than that. And he doesn't have that. And to ask that much money, I'm sure that's what Aquilini and company are bringing up. So, if you're not going to get the money, are you going to get a practice facility? Are you going to be able to keep Quinn Hughes? There's just so many questions. Guys, I don't know if you heard our show today, but Elliot Friedman, and I don't know if he's done this on 650 or not, but he said that he believes, and it's Elliot, so most people take him at his word, pretty reliable. He says it's going to be Vancouver or Philadelphia.
Well, that leaves some intrigue there. And I, given Philadelphia, I do wonder, they've got deep pockets. They haven't been afraid to pay coaches in the past. If Rick Tocchet knows that more money could be out there and available to him, that makes it harder for the Canucks.
The only thing with Philly is, you're also years away from winning still there, probably.
Yeah. They're more in a rebuild right now, yeah.
I don't know what their practice facility is.
Well, the Canucks are the only team without one, Donnie, so it's better than the Canucks is.
Yeah. That's for sure. But hey, look, he played there, and I know he won a cup with the Penguins, and had I think the season after they won their second cup, he was well over 100 points, or significantly over 100 points. He had some great times there. And no doubt about it. But I will always think of him as a Flyer. That's the team that drafted him. He just fit Mike Keenan, which is, you know, not everybody was like that. And there was that was a team that carried on that 70s tradition. It was tough. You know, Tockett was there. Zezel was there. It was a tough team. And it was, and it just really fit the Flyers. And you just get the feeling that he really enjoyed it there and wouldn't mind maybe going back. So I think he went there back as a player late in his career for a season or two. The veteran NHL tour that so many players go through near the end of their career. But he's just such a fit there. And I wonder if he reminisces about it. I wonder if he misses it and had some good times there. And maybe that's part of the lure, along with maybe a whole lot of money.
Is there just too much like noise, especially negative noise around this team, Donnie? I mean, they're in the off season and it's just, they can't get a deal with their coach done. Their top prospect is waiting on a contract. It was just a year full of noise to the point that Brock Besser said on numerous occasions, it got into the room and affected the way that the team played. Is there just too much noise around this team right now?
Well, it's just, yes, and I think that the players, this is the sense that I get, and the coaches, and in particular Rick Tockett, and certainly Rutherford and Alvin, and again, we've talked about this before, it's happened so quickly. Guys all over Twitter today. It was a year ago today, the Besser hat trick, you know, and the Lindholm winning goal in overtime in Nashville against the Predators. Everything has happened so quickly. And, you know, just I don't know if anybody's had time to catch their breath. Like, what happened? I mean, yes, injuries, no question about it. But it's just really hard to take for a lot of people. And I think it's going to mean, you know, an exit or two or three, as you're going to get normally in an off season. But just hard to take for a lot of people. And so what happens? You have a losing season. You know what? After a pretty good season, but the focus is the losing season because it's recency bias. And so what do you start to do? You start to pick apart the negatives. And the negatives are, what's going to happen with Quinn Hughes? They can't sign Vilander. They don't have a practice facility. Is Rick Tockett coming back? He just won the Adams Award. Oh, the history of the franchise is not that great. Mm-hmm. You start focusing on that. It's human nature. And it's not working in the Canucks' favor right now.
No, it hasn't. And, you know, we're all waiting to see what happens this offseason. But for now, figuring out the coaching situation, figuring out Vilander, and that's where it's at. Now, as far as where the playoffs are at, and we saw the Ottawa Senators finally win a game, I thought Brady Tkachuk's reaction was really funny. They won a game, and he acted like they were, you know, really back in this series. And also a 3-1 series. But you think the Sens can make something out of this, or is it going to end pretty quick here?
Oh, God, I hope so. It would just be awesome if they did. Even if the Leafs ended up winning, just to put a scare into them. But the games have been close, right? I mean, you got multiple overtime games here. So who's to say, you know, the law of averages isn't at play? I think Toronto is the better team. No, they are the better team, certainly on paper. Their goaltender has been somewhat of a revelation. But Ottawa's plucky. They've got a lot of young talent. I could see them pulling out maybe one more game and making it scary for the Leafs, but ultimately I think Toronto ends up advancing. I mean, how many teams have come back from three deficits? There you go.
Yeah, doesn't happen very, very often. And, you know, we've seen some incredible things happening. I mean, the games have been really good in these playoffs, but the return of playoff hockey to the Bell Center is I don't know if we forgot how good the Bell Center atmosphere can be, but man, those two games in Montreal just provided all kinds of entertainment, didn't it, Donnie?
Yeah, and I think, guys, when you watch a game on television and you feel like that you're there, that doesn't happen with every building. When you watch a game from the Bell Center, it feels like you're right in the action. It's just, there's just an energy that comes from that place that goes right through the cameras and into your man cave, into your living room, whatever the case may be. You can feel the passion. You can feel the desire to get back to winning. You can feel the history. The uniforms are beautiful. There's just so much there. I don't know if you guys have been there, but it's pretty spectacular. Statues outside are amazing. And all these statistics, all these numbers, all these accomplishments that they have immortalized outside the arena. It's just really, really special. And let's not also forget that it's capacity wise, it's the largest building in the National Hockey League. I think around 21,000, over 21,000. It just makes a difference that everybody's into it. You know, nobody's there for just a night out.
Yeah.
They want to see some good hockey. And it sure has been entertaining. And they can feel the energy from that talented young hockey club that, you know, it has so much promise and is giving Washington a scare. And then there's so much edge and hate in this series. And I mean that in a positive way. It's been really good. Now, you know, Habs are down 3-1, so we'll see what happens. But, man, at the very least, they provided a lot of hope, a lot of promise for the great hockey fans of Montreal.
Well, it's kind of, I understand the Toronto thing, why we don't like Toronto and all that, but it's funny with Montreal that there is more reverence towards Montreal, their class, their grace, the history, how they conduct themselves. And I'm just thinking back, like, I can't even think of too many Canuck Habs moments. Like, we know the Canucks played the Leafs in the conference finals, for instance. Like, we've seen them play, you know, in big moments, but they just don't have that same history with the Habs.
Yeah, and I think one of the big well, first of all, the Canucks won Game 1 back in 1975 when they played their – yes, I was alive. Back when they played their very first playoff game was against Montreal. And probably it was their second game. Their first game, they started a backup goaltender by the name of Ken Lockett. And they called him Spider after a New York Giants defensive back. And they started him because I believe he had back-to-back shutouts to finish the regular season, lost the first game. They won their second game in Montreal. That was a big moment. Leon Rochford and Gary Monahan combining for a real important goal late, and they ended up winning that game. And then even it just took, I can't remember exactly, but it took them multiple seasons to record. That's what good Montreal was, to record their very first win against Montreal. It just took so long. And then you had that playoff victory. But there hasn't been a whole lot. I stand to be corrected, but there hasn't been a whole lot since. Not, you know, big, important moments against Montreal. And getting back to something you said, Sat, like the conference final, I mean, some of the kids out there might not remember that Toronto and Detroit, but Toronto was, they were in the Western Conference.
Yeah.
It was weird.
Mm-hmm.
And so they end up playing in a conference final. I don't think the hate was there for Toronto, not like it is today. And I think that I've got various theories as to why, but I can't imagine that happening again. If those two teams ever got to a Stanley Cup final, if they ever played an important playoff series again, like for whatever reason, if there was some sort of alignment, oh my gosh. I mean, it would just be absolutely crazy. And it was, the other thing too about 94, there was definitely emotion there, but it was kind of obvious who's going to win.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, the Canucks were the better team. So that took away from it. No question about it.
I'm just looking at the rosters from this 1975 series now, and man, Guy Lafleur, Yvon Cornway, Pete Mihaljevic were the three highest scorers for Montreal versus John Gould, Jerry O'Flaherty, and Bob Daly for Vancouver.
Yeah, the late Bob Daly, who went on to Philadelphia in a trade. Yeah, John Gould was a clutch player. He scored big goals. He came over from Buffalo, but yeah.
And Ken Dryden had a .938 save percentage in the series,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, it didn't quite match the Hall of Fame lineup of the Montreal Canadiens. So who, of course, that would have been would have been 75.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Those peak Habs teams in the late 70s were
yeah.
pretty.
Well, they were on their something. Way. Yeah, they won their first of four straight after that.
Yeah.
They weren't winning that series, but they got a game. That was pretty special back in the day.
They got a game. That's all you could ask for against those loaded Habs teams. Now, you know, there's a couple of other things happening here in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Like Edmonton right now, they found a way to win a couple of these games. I feel like Jim Hiller gifted them one on Friday night with that terrible challenge. And then somehow Evan Bouchard and the Oilers found a way back in it late in the third last night. But they've been the second best team in this series. And I wonder if, like, at some point they just wake up and LA's got nothing to answer for it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's very much a possibility. It's just these. You know the brain lock moments for LA. You mentioned the Hiller challenge wrong, and then you know Quinn Byfield, who's such a wonderful young Canadian hockey player. He, you know, like in minor hockey, the high hardy, get it out high and hard, get that thing, you know, off the boards, just get it out. It's just such a basic play, and it just, for him to make the attempt the move he tried to make was just, and you know, Gretel Bouchard, he made a really nice play. Man, he's a polarizing player. Mm-hmm. But it just must be really frustrating. There's no way this series should be 2-2. But that's another series that's got some edge. It's really good. It's been very entertaining.
Donnie, we appreciate the time as always. Thanks for this.
Sorry, hey, listen, I'm sorry about going down memory lane, but I know
we always love it. Yeah, we got nothing else to talk about here. It's off-season already.
Awesome, guys. I love it. Always fun.
There is the great Don Taylor joining us here on Canucks Central.
Yeah, just not that same level of hate for the Habs, right? I mean,
no.
You mentioned you compare the rosters and the teams, and the Canucks obviously in the 70s, they were an expansion team.
Yeah.
You know, it was going to take some time, and obviously it did.
That was the beginning of the Habs dynasty.
Yeah, it was just, I mean, what do you do? I mean, you can't even be mad at that team.
No.
You just look at that team, you're like, it's like when the Grizzlies came in and played the Chicago Bulls. Like, yeah. Nobody was mad at the Bulls. They're like, oh, it's the Bulls. I mean, it's Michael Jordan. What are you going to do? The Grizzlies have won 18 games this year. Like, that's what it is, right? So,
yeah.
I mean, with Toronto, there's a different level of hate.
There's five Hall of Famers on this team. There's Bob Gainey, Guy Lafleur, Yvonne Cormier, Serge Savard's in the Hall. Yeah, Serge Savard's in the Hall, I think. Larry Robinson and Ken Dryden. So that's six.
Yeah.
I mean,
in 86, Serge was inducted in the Hall.
So, you know, like, yeah, it's kind of funny to look back at that. Not that I remember it because I wasn't born, but Donnie was. And so to get his perspective on it, it's just, it is different. And I guess, you know, part of it is the center of the universe thing too.
I think with technology becoming a bigger thing, and especially with sports shows becoming a bigger thing and TV broadcast, now the Toronto focus is a lot bigger than it was before. You see the difference between how the Leafs are covered versus how other Canadian teams are covered.
Yeah.
And I think that's more jarring and in your face. And I think that's what creates some of those feelings too. But with the Leafs, it's different. Like, there's just hate towards the Leafs. Whereas with the Habs, like, their class gets brought up. There's a reverence towards what the Habs have been and what they still are in many ways, at least what the brand means being a Hab, right?
Well, it's not too dissimilar. Like, when the Habs come to town, there is, again, it's kind of like a 50-50 atmosphere.
It is. Honestly, sometimes it's even louder than when Leafs fans are in here.
Yeah.
It's wild.
So it's not as though, like, the Habs fans don't take over Rogers Arena when they're here. So there is still that similar rivalry-type feeling on those nights. But overall, I guess the difference is, you know, maybe the Toronto center of the universe, and there's an actual, like, more recent playoff series to look back on too for a lot of people in our not our producers' age demographic, but
the
our
children
demographic.
Our demographic,
the children of the program.
Yeah.
I'm a man.
I'm 25.
26.
Okay.
Zach, how do you feel about your Senators?
I feel great.
Great.
We got a game.
Wow.
And then we're gonna get another one, and then two more.
Okay.
That's delusional world I'm living in right now.
Yeah, that's the only way you can live in the playoffs. Honestly, it's great. You got to embrace the chaos of the playoffs and hope for the... But what else are you going to do? Give up?
Yeah, seriously. I mean, you know, it's one game at a time. And these, outside of game one, they've been close.
You're right. And like Donnie mentioned, I wouldn't be surprised if they get some bounces and win game five kind of going away.
Yeah.
And then force game six. Game six, I think, will be interesting. But I could see, like, game five, they just have the juice, get some bounces, and we go to game six.
Well, I don't think the, like, seed of doubt is yet planted too firmly, but if they win game five, then all of a sudden maybe Toronto starts seeing ghosts again.
I just wonder how long Stolarz can keep up his stellar play. He's been incredible.
Yeah, he's been good all year, though. Like, I said the same thing coming into the playoffs. I'm like, I don't know about their goaltending because I haven't seen it in the playoffs yet, but...
Well, Mr. Glass, Joseph Woll's got hurt without even playing, so
yeah.
I mean, he's ill, but still.
He always...
He has a
it's just like any time he might be playing, he's like, no, can't go.
Can't go, I'm sick, or I'm injured.
Like, poor guy, man. Like,
maybe he's just really nervous, and he's like pretending he's...
Yeah, I don't know.
His immune
Do
system?
I look nervous? Yeah.
But Brady Tkachuk has been kind of funny in this series. Like, you mentioned how he celebrated the one win, and... Even after, like, they lost game two, he's like, there's no panic in this room. There's no panic. I'm like, man,
you sound
the fact
panicked.
That you're saying this makes you sound panicked.
I love Brady. He's like, he's just a big old goof, right? That's what Brady Tkachuk is. I love Brady Tkachuk. I wish Brady Tkachuk was on, like, my favorite hockey team, right?
Yes.
Like, that's how I view Brady Tkachuk. And I wish he was on the Vancouver Canucks because I think he'd be an absolute treasure to watch. And the way he conducts himself sometimes, however, can get the better of him. And I think he's one of those guys that... obviously is going to ride his emotions.
Yeah.
but he's going to have to learn how to channel that a little bit better. But like Travis Green said, and like others have said about Brady, I'd rather have players that are overly emotional and invested than the other way. And I'd rather want to, you know, harness the wild stallion than anything else. And that's how I view Brady. I love Brady, man. I love everything he does.
So that series will continue tomorrow night. We'll keep an eye on the games happening tonight. Tampa and Florida through one period of play, and it is goalless so far in Sunrise. Florida with a 2-1 series lead. Avs and Stars, 2-2 series. That one goes at 6:30 tonight. Coming up, Frank Saravalli is going to join us here on Canuck Central.
Catch up on what happened in Vancouver sports with Halford and Brough in the morning. Be sure to subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.